All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back to Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. The Apostle Paul wrote these scriptures under the inspiration of God. We know that. And the exact circumstances for his writing, though we are not told the depth of all the reasons, we do know that in the former chapter, chapter 12, it dealt with the believers' responsibilities toward each other, not avenging themselves, but to wait on God, who would repay. Some in Rome may have been thought to be not good citizens. And they may have thought themselves that being made free in Christ from the law, they were therefore freed from their civil authorities that were in place. But whatever was God's purpose in having the Apostle Paul write this, the Spirit of God moved upon Paul to set forth instruction to God's people. This is what this book is all about. This gives us instruction on what God says is so. I think about the simplicity of when my children were being raised, and I would have good reason for me telling them, I don't want you doing that. Why? And my answer would be, because I said so. Sometimes I might give a reason, but sometimes maybe not. I don't want y'all playing in the road. Why? Well, I don't want to go into the depth of it, but you might get killed, and I'd rather you not. But whatever the reason, we realize these scriptures were given by inspiration of God. And so therefore, I need to hear them, you need, we all need to hear them. So here, verses 1 to 7 deals with the believers, everybody, truly, but especially a believer, the responsibility to be in subjection to authority. And I'm going to clarify, where does that submission and subjection end? And if it doesn't end in some places, it's covered in all places. But let's see what God has to say. Let every soul be subject. Let him be, that is, voluntarily cooperative. That's what it means. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, unto the authorities that are in place. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. So here's what I know. Civil authority, all authority, is by divine institution. Now, it has been the good pleasure of Almighty God to set up positions of authority. Whether it's the president, whether it's congressmen, policemen, teachers, building superintendents, where it's husbands, parents, whatever, Almighty God has set forth that authority is going to be in place. Now, this has a much greater message in it. What does it say? God rules. There is an authority over all men. Now, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what place of authority someone is. It might be just a child that's got a cat, and it owns it. That cat belongs to that little child, and that little child has got some authority over it. But over that child is a parent, and over that parent is somebody else. And you might come right on up to the President of the United States. But he's got an authority over him too. Where is your God, David? He said, our God's in the heavens. And he's done whatsoever he pleases. So there is authority that's set up. But all authority from Almighty God, who is the supreme authority. There is no authority over him. It ends there. And that's our message today. As Brother Scott says, who's running this show anyway? Who's in control? All authority is ordained of God. The powers that be are ordained. They're appointed. And they're to be obeyed. We're to be in subjection to lawful authority. Now, I'll deal with this. Whenever Abraham was told by God, now listen to this. Abraham, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him unto me for a burnt offering. Now, let me tell you what carnal reasoning would say. I just don't think that that's the right thing to do. I just don't think that to me, that sounds like murder to me. That sounds like a complete insensitivity. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed God. The scripture says he knew God. He knew that God was able to raise up that boy because God had told Abraham in Isaac, the Messiah was going to come through the loins of Isaac. And God told Abraham to take that boy. You take that boy and you sacrifice him unto me. Abraham saddled up his donkeys, got his servants, got his boy. He took off. Going to wait on God. 3 days later, God showed him where it was. Go right up here. And Abraham said to the servants, he said, y'all stay here. Stay here with the ass. He said, the lad and I are going to go up there and worship God. What was he going to do? He was going to sacrifice. He was going to obey God. Obedience. Listen to me. Obedience to the powers that be, for Christ's sake, is worship. Because we believe that Almighty God is ordering all these things. All things. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Who is he going to put in positions of authority? Who's he going to put in the White House? I'll tell you who it is. Whoever he pleases. And whoever it is. You know what the responsibility of a believer is? Lord, you've done all things well. You've done that which is right. Lord, you do good. You do good. Verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. Now that's pretty plain, isn't it? Whoever resists the one in authority, as long as he is doing that which is lawfully consistent with the scriptures. Again, I'm coming to it. I want to get to it so badly, but I'm getting there. Whosoever resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive to themselves chastisement. Not if a believer, the Lord gives his people eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, there's an old man in all of us. Every believer's got an old man, and we're going to raise up, you know, our ugly head of resistance, and I do it, you do it, we all do it. But it's not right to do it. And we need to be reminded of it. And that's what I felt impressed for us to hear. We need to hear this. But whosoever opposes the appointed powers, they're resisting God. That's what he said. Whosoever resisted the power resists the ordinance of God. What am I saying? I'm going against what God did. I'm saying that's not the right thing. I can't see where that's going to be for our good. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I believe it's the right thing to ask the Lord, to pray, to vote. I think that's the right thing to do. But the scripture says the lot is laid into the lap. But the whole disposing of that is of the Lord. And whatever God does is right. And whoever resists the power resists the will of God. Because that person is placed there as a type and a picture of God's authority. So to fight against or to overthrow fair authority in any capacity is to resist the Lord. Children, listen. Obey your parents in the Lord. If a parent, though, tells a child, "I want you to do something," you go over there and steal that. Go get that right there and just, you know, put it under your coat right there. Steal that right there and bring it over here. Now, there's a point in which that parent has overstepped their bounds, because now they're going against God's authority. When the Lord said, "Thou shalt not steal." Whenever a wives, submit yourselves to your own husband as unto the Lord, as we obey what God has to say. Same thing. Whenever somebody oversteps their bounds that is in authority, where do we have the right to resist the authority? Whenever Peter and some of the apostles in Acts 5 were preaching, you turn there, hold your place, turn to Acts chapter 5, verse 27. These men had been preaching the gospel, and the Jews had told them, he said, "Okay, that's enough, we're throwing you in jail." Well, God delivered them. God delivered them. God sent an angel and delivered them out of it. And then they went right back to doing what they were doing. They were preaching the gospel. Acts 5 and verse 27. And it says, and when they went and got them. Somebody told them, said, "Those guys you threw in jail, they're out there preaching. They're doing the same thing." And when they brought them, they set them, verse 27, Acts 5, 27, set them before the council. The high priest asked them, saying, did not we straightly command you that you should not teach in his name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Now, let me ask you something. What did the Lord tell them to do? The Lord told him, he said, "You go into all the world and you preach the gospel to every creature." Now, when somebody comes up and says, "I don't want to hear y'all preaching the gospel anymore," now they've overstepped their bounds on concerning our obedience. Whenever Nebuchadnezzar, he made this that, you know where I'm going with it. It raised up that idol and said, "Okay, when the music starts, everybody bow down." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't do it. And he brought them to him and he said, "What are you doing? Evidently, you misunderstood what I said. I said, when the music starts, you bow down to my idol." And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "Our God, he may not deliver us. He's going to deliver us from you. He may not deliver us even concerning our lives, but I'm going to tell you this, we ain't bowing down. I can tell you that right now." Why? Because they had overstepped their bounds. Whenever the Lord told Moses, "You go tell Pharaoh." He said, "You go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I want them to come out here in the wilderness and worship me." Pharaoh tried to put some restrictions on them. "Well, you can go, but don't take your kids. Or you can go, but don't take your animals." He said, "No. No, we're going, all of us going." Well, eventually they did, because Almighty God delivered them. But the scriptures set forth concerning the responsibility back in Romans 13, as long as it is not a God-ordained law, rule, concerning the preaching of the gospel, the assembling, the lawful assembling of ourselves together, If it doesn't violate God's law, then we are commanded to obey. It's because God has raised up. So to set forth that, restrictions concerning things, and it's not a violation. The scripture says, verse 3, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. If I'm driving down the road and the speed limit's 45 miles an hour, and I pass a police officer on the side of the road with a radar gun, I don't have anything to be afraid of. But now if I'm doing 75, I've got good reason to be, because I'm in violation of a law. So if I don't want to be afraid of the penalty that has been set forth, and if it's not it's not a law that violates God's law, then do it. Just do it. As I said a moment ago, it doesn't matter what my thoughts are. What do you think about that? I got a lot of thoughts, but it doesn't matter. The Lord didn't command me, as long as it makes sense to you. It didn't make sense to Abraham. But that wasn't the issue. The issue was obedience. And so compliance is the believer's responsibility for Christ's sake. That's what, you know, when Peter said, we fished all night. We fished it. Nevertheless, Lord, it's your word. It's your word. So it's right that we be honest, civil members of society for the sake of the Lord. And this truth of obedience God has set forth to be a mark of those. Verse 4, he's the minister of God to thee for good. Someone might say, I don't see it. Again, Lord said he was. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He's the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I'm so thankful that God has set up authority. Brother Henry one time said this. He said, I'd rather have, an evil authority in place than no authority at all. If there were no policemen, if there were no governmental authorities, think of the chaos that we would have in our society. Think of the chaos. I mean, you know, God has set up authority, ministers. Ministers, servants. They're the Lord's servants. They're ordained. But somebody said, well, what if they're evil? What if they're, you know, hold your place right there. Turn with me to Exodus 9. Exodus chapter 9. What if they are ungodly, evil men that have been put in authority? If they're there, God put them there. Exodus chapter 9, look at verse 13. God told Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Look at Exodus 9:13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, upon thy servants, upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. For in very deed, for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Now let me ask you something. Who raised up Pharaoh? God did. Why did he raise him up? God said, I'm going to show my power in you. He raised him up, and God dealt with him. Was it the place of the Israelites to deal with Pharaoh? No. Vengeance was the Lord's. He's going to deal with it. But I tell you this, what did the Lord teach his people through Pharaoh? Well, he taught them wait on him. He taught them of his power, of his mercy to take them out. God Almighty knows what he's doing. And we don't. So to resist, even if it's somebody that I think, oh, wow. The Lord raised up a Pharaoh for his glory and for the good of his people. And the Lord has set forth back in Romans 13, verse 4, he's the minister of God to thee for good. And if thou do that which is evil, what is it? Resist him. If it's something that, you know, if you resist him, you do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. He's the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. He's not a toothless lion. God said, I'm going to keep order. Now, I may bring my judgment upon him to prove my power, but I put him there for your good. And so you wait. It's right. It's right for ministers. Evil, not evil. It's right for them to measure out justice to offenders. God is a just God. And when we see, even if they're a Pharaoh, they are a picture of God's authority and God's rule. And that's this demand for obedience is a setting forth of our obedience unto the Lord. It's for our good. So wherefore, concerning these things, look at verse 5. Wherefore, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Don't obey just because you're afraid of the law. I go back to the speed limit. It's the quickest thing I can think of. I know that there's speed signs placed. And we all know what the speed limits are. What he's saying is don't obey the speed limit sign because I'm just afraid of getting caught, which I don't want to get caught either. But do it for conscience sake. That's what he's saying. It's the right thing to do because I know this, that whether it's a speed trap or speed sign, that wasn't a nice way to put it, but anyway, whether it's a speed sign or whether it's wearing a mask or whatever it is, do it because of your love for God's authority. Because the Lord said, do it for conscience sake. It's like I've been told to do this because God raised it up. There's no other explanation for it. So be subject to the higher power because God's appointed them, and it's necessary for the maintenance of order and peace, and because you realize that despising it is to despise God. And then look at verse 7. Now he's going to set forth a difference here in the responsibility also of a believer concerning his civil duty, concerning taxes is what he's going to deal with. He said, you know, verse 6 and 7, for also this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute's due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now, when it comes to the responsibility of our civic duty of paying tribute, taxes, don't pay them just to avoid the consequences, but again, for conscience sake, whatever is rightly due. It's the Lord has set forth even those in authority to receive the tribute for the maintenance. If my house catches on fire, I'd appreciate calling Sean. I hope he's there. I mean, if I need a police officer, same thing. Whatever I need, I, 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 This is God's ordained means of doing it. Now, the Lord dealt with this very thing. Hold your place and turn to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verses 24 to 27. Matthew 17, 24. When they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, "Doth not your master pay tribute?" He said, "Yes." And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, "What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers?" Peter saith unto him, "Of strangers." Jesus saith unto him, "They then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, cast a hook, take up the fish that first cometh up. When thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take, give unto them for me and thee." Now, what did he say? Peter was asked by somebody in authority, the tribute money, I can tell you this, this was not the money that was collected by the tax collectors for the Roman government. That, you know, that was a different, this tribute money right here, this was money that was to be given by the people for the maintenance of the temple. That's what it was for. And one of the ministers, somebody came up and asked Peter, "Does your Lord pay tribute?" And Peter said, "Yeah, yes he does." And he went his way, and the Lord saw Peter and he asked him. He said, "Peter, concerning what you were saying, the paying of tribute and the maintenance of the temple." Now truly, the Lord, he was the Lord of the temple. He asked Peter, I want to show you something there. It was an amazing thing. He asked him, Matthew 17, he asked Peter, he said, whenever somebody that got some kids, verse 25, "What thinkest thou, of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute, of their own children or of strangers?" What he was asking this, he said, if a king has a child, got some kids in his family, does he charge them the same taxes that he charges people that's not in his family? Who does he charge taxes to? Everybody else out there or his own kids? Peter said, "Well, he does it of everybody else in the kingdom." That's what he said when he said strangers. Not strangers outside of their kingdom. No, in their own kingdom, right there. Who does he charge to? His children has got some freedom. They're the heirs. And they don't get treated the same. That's what he's saying. He said, notwithstanding, he said, you're free, and you know you're free. They're free in him. He was the Lord of the temple. And they were talking about some money to keep up the building. But here was the Lord of what that building represented. And his people, Peter and the other apostles, the believers, they were his children by covenant grace, by electing grace. They were his. They were free. They were free. And truly, their obligation had been paid in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had not yet died, but God had seen him slain from the foundation of the world. They were free in Christ. But the Lord was going to teach them something. You are children. That's what he said. He said, Jesus saith unto them, then are the children free. He said, truly, there is no moral, spiritual obligation that need to be paid. But, he said, notwithstanding, he said, lest we should offend them. Now, he was saying, Peter, you're free. But he said, to not be offensive to somebody, he said, I want you to go catch this fish. And the Lord ordained that there was going to be a fish that somehow got a piece of money in his mouth. He said, you go get it and you go pay the tribute. the Lord Jesus Christ, being the head and husband of his people, he submitted himself in obedience to the law, to the oracle of God concerning the tribute money that was. He did it. And I'm thinking, if the Lord himself submitted himself to these ordinances, shouldn't we? Attending continually upon everything that was due, he did that which was right and honorable. Back in Romans 13. So he said concerning, he said, you render in verse 7, you render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You pay what is due. Pay that which is right. Fear, respect, you give it. Honor, obedience for the honor that Christ has paid upon him. You do it. Servants to your masters. You've got somebody at work and he's over you. He may be a jerk, but he's still over you. And what do? Submit. Don't fight against him. God put him there. Kids, whatever your mom and dad says, if it's not contrary to God's word, you do it. You do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. It's right. Students, to teachers, I think they're just, God put them there. God. Husbands to wives, to each other. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Honor the king. Let me read this for you. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. The scripture says, after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. We owe a debt unto him. And everybody that's been placed in authority is a picture. And it's a type of that. Now, the debt of love that's on. I'll try to hurry. Look at scripture, verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love him. Love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything. I've heard people say, well, I tell you what, we're not supposed to, don't borrow. Don't borrow on credit. You borrow on credit, you know, we're not to owe any man, pay cash. If you can't pay cash, we'd be hard pressed to buy a house unless some of you's got the cash to do it. Most of us don't, or a car or anything. But if you go down and you make an agreement with somebody and you're going to put some money down and you're going to finance it for 60 months and your bills is due on the 15th of the month. On the 15th of the month, whatever that bill is, pay it. If you don't pay it, you didn't pay that which you owed. You owed what was due. Your taxes, your bills, do that which is right. If you can't pay it, if you call them, don't ignore them. But there's one debt that we can never pay, and it's that debt of love. Love to each other, love to our spouses, love to our children. Love, you never pay the debt of love. You'll never be done with it. Pay it. Verse 9, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm telling you, a man that loves his neighbor, that loves God, that loves the authority. Look at verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. A man that loves his neighbor, he don't want to be offensive to him. He don't want to take that which is his. He don't want to covet his wife. He don't want to defraud him of his substance. Love is the setting forth The scripture says of the fulfilling of the law, which will never fulfill it perfectly, and we all know that. But we're to love one another, pay what is due. If a man is in authority, he's due respect. If he doesn't transgress God's law and say something, he's due obedience. He's due it. The Lord said that. Verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, and now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Knowing that the time, this is a serious time. This is a time that the gospel is being preached. Listen, we're hearing the gospel right now. There's people that's left this world that didn't know Christ. And they have no more time. It's over. It's done. They have no hope. They have no hope. Paul the apostle saying, knowing the time, it's high time to wake out of sleep. Hear these things. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. This is the accepted time. This is it. Right here, the day of grace. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of the Lord. Hosea 10:12 says, time to seek the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7:29, the time is short. It's high time to awake out of sleep. Out of sleep. The drowsy dozing of our slothfulness. Lord, wake me up. Lord, let me see things as you say they are. And Lord, please keep me from this lukewarm attitude that I have and thinking that I know the best thing. I don't know the best thing. Thank God for God's word. Lord, keep me, help me, and deliver me from my spirit and my attitude to disobey. I don't want to. I don't want to. Joshua said to the people, he said, you choose this day whom you'll serve. Fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods, the idols, which our fathers served on the other side of the flood. You know, for now, today is the day of salvation. Oh, the blessing of leaving this world. And scripture says in Hebrews 11, they died in the faith. They died in the faith. Let me ask you something. When we leave this world, we take our last breath, what difference is all this going to make? What difference is it going to make? Not a bit. Not a bit. It's not going to make one bit of difference. Verse 12, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. We're in the night season. This life. That's what he's talking about right now. This is the time of night, but the day of salvation, the day of final deliverance, the day of the Lord, the day of his second coming, that day in which we'll all stand before God. It's coming. It's quick. The time of sin and sorrow in this life is nearly over. I don't have a whole lot of time left. I know I don't. You may say, well, no, sure you do. No, I don't. I know better than that. I mean, it's time. Therefore, Paul says, cast off. Pray, ask the Lord. Lord, help me. I ask, Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me from succumbing to the things of the night. And by your grace, Lord, teach me of what you've done for me. Putting on that armor of light, those things that are honoring to you. Let us, verse 13, let us walk honestly. Just decently is what it is. Let us walk decently, as in the day, not rioting, drunkenness, chambering, wantonness, not in strife and envy. What is that? Walk in this day of grace. Lord, I want to adorn the doctrine of Christ. I want to. I'm just like you. I've got the sorriest attitude. Lord, deliver me from that. Lord, help me to be faithful. Help me to let me comfort your people. Let me honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me walk in a way that I honor the one that has loved me and gave himself for me. Now, he said, not in rioting and drunkenness. What is it? Raunchiness. That's what it is. Raunchiness. Just trash. Just carousing living. Not just debauchery and filthiness. Just in disobedience. Lord, help me. Forgive me. You know, chambering and wantonness. What is that? Fornication, adultery, sodomy, and any other defilements of this life. That, Lord, deliver me from myself. Verse 14, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put ye on Christ. What is that? Believe the Lord. Let me just sum it up like that. There's me being able to somehow put him on, believe him. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. By the grace of God, cast yourself upon him. Clothe yourself again by faith. It is the Lord that clothes his people in the robe of his righteousness. Believe him. Trust him. Wait on him. Feed on him in his word. Look to him by faith to direct our steps. Hope in him. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Again, I want to walk in this world, humanly speaking, with respect. As I was pinning out these words here, this message truly came to my heart yesterday. And I got to thinking about walking in this world in honor. And my mind immediately went to Glenda. I wouldn't embarrass her for anything, but I thought, you know what? I want to walk before men and women. I want to walk before them in such a way that they know that I love and respect my wife. I don't want to be disrespectful to her. I don't want to give anybody the idea. Thought he was married. I think that thought, that'd break my heart. Give somebody that idea that I had an attitude that was disrespectful toward her. That's the way a believer wants to walk before Christ. I don't want to walk as one that is disrespectful. I want to walk according to the scriptures. I want to. And I see the frailty in myself. I see my fallings. I see it. And I cry, Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me for these things. But I want to. I want to. I pray that this has been a help to us. I pray that it's been honoring to the Lord and a comfort and a blessing to his people. I pray God bless it to our hearts for his glory and our good. Amen.